Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise your name. Give all glory to you. As all creation come before you, that we can sing about your mercy, that we can come and that we can hear that the angels were also singing and praising you, that we are blessed to continue our worship this evening, to learn about your mercies and the grace that you've bestowed upon us through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be called your children, and that we can approach you through our Lord Jesus Christ, and the knowledge that our prayers will be heard, and that you hear our prayers, that our prayers become a lovely fragrance before your throne. Father, we thank you for your word, the exposition of your word, that we can study your word, that we can be enriched by your word. We thank you for the many gifts that you gave your church as well, that we can have fellowship with you and with each other. We pray for all the offices of the church, your servants, but also for every member, every child. And we thank you, Lord, that we can see your provision over this last year so clearly, that you kept us together. Be with us, keep us, enrich us. Open our ears so that we can hear your words and give all glory to you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our Bible reading this evening is from Luke 16, verse 19 to 31. Luke 16, verse 19 to 31, and Bud will lead us in the Bible reading.
Reading from Luke 16, starting at verse 19 to the end of the chapter. It's entitled The Rich Man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus by his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received good things, and Lazarus in like manner had bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to them, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Amen. So far, the reading of God's word.
Our text verse 22. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. Just so far. And the topic this evening, the angels are with us. The angels are with us. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess, like we've heard this evening, that angels are real. They exist, created by God. And we read in the Word of God that they are with us. They're also worshiping and praising the Lord with us. Hebrews 12, verse 20 to 24, describe the worship service like we have today in heaven and what is happening there. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirit of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. But why can't we see them? And so the word is clear, and so our confessions as well, that angels are spirits rather than physical beings. And they don't have to be visible at all. Colossians 1 verse 16, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And also in 2 Kings 6, Elisha prayed, open his Lord, eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Elisha's servant, Gehazi, was terrified because a big army surrounded them. And the Lord answered Elisha's prayer, and he opened the servant's eyes, and he could see what Elisha saw. Around Elisha and him, a heavenly host standing wheel to wheel, side by side, an army with horses and chariots of fire. And yes, as far as the eye could see, God's soldiers were on the mountain hills, and they surrounded the city and were gathered in readiness. Gathered in their thousands. Let me explain a bit more. In every Bible passage where angels are mentioned, they acted as servants of God. And at his command, they served as messengers, as soldiers, and guards. And they stand in God's service alone. God uses them as his instruments, as he uses us to proclaim the gospel. We know that God can only speak a word and it can all be done. And that he only in his grace decided that this is the way it should be. He created this world, like we confess in Article 12, only with a word, his word, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in God's plan, he also decided to create angels. And their task is to honor and obey him alone, as his servants. They are created to serve God, protect those who inherit salvation. Hebrews 1 verse 14, are not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? And the unnamed angels who appear most often in Scripture carry out a variety of tasks, all designed to serve God. Many books are written about angels. And one thing that I looked up, a book of Dr. John Beitel, he gave the following outline about the work of angels, and I will give it to you later. Maybe put it in the billboard. Worship and praise are the main activity portrayed in heaven. Isaiah 6 to 1 and 3, Revelation 4 to 5. They acted as messengers where they serve as messengers to communicate God's will to men. They guide him, where they gave instructions to Joseph about the birth of Jesus, Matthew 1-2, to the woman at the tomb, to Philip, Acts 8:26, to Cornelius, Acts 10:1-8. They provide him, where God used angels to provide physical needs. As for his servant Elijah, 1 Kings 19:6. Also Christ after his temptation, Matthew 4:11. They are protectors, keeping God's people out of physical danger, as in the cases of Daniel and the lions, and also God's promise in Psalm 91. They are delivering, getting God's people out of danger once they are in it. They release the apostles from prison in Acts 5. They repeated the process for Peter in Acts 12. They strengthened, they encouraged, and they supported Jesus after his temptation. Matthew 4:11 encouraged the apostles to keep preaching after releasing them from prison, Acts 5. Told Paul that everyone in his ship would survive the impending shipwreck, Acts 27:23-25. And God also used angels as his means of answering prayers, Daniel 9:20, Acts 12. And then the last one that we are going to focus on, caring for believers at a moment of death, which is a great encouragement. This is about Lazarus and the rich man, our sermon this evening. We read that the angels carried the spirit of Lazarus to heaven when he died. And so in our Bible reading, Jesus drew a parable of contrasts of Lazarus the beggar and the rich man. And he took a scene that everyone knew so well to portray the Pharisees' poor spiritual life. And this parable is not a judgment about wealth, but about self-righteousness, the blindness to each other's problems. And so the blindness about the suffering of others is condemned, and not wealth. Because wealth can be a blessing from the Lord as well. But the right attitude where we serve the Lord with everything he gives to us should go with it. And we can think of Abraham, Jacob, Job, David, Solomon. They were all blessed with richness but put their trust in the Lord. And so poverty is not a punishment from the hand of the Lord as well. But poverty can also lead to someone's demise, where someone's living in jealousy, where the gifts, blessings, and care from the hand of God are overlooked. That's also the wrong attitude. And with this parable, Jesus wanted to show that someone can be rich yet poor and blind to your neighbor's need, and that someone may be lacking, full of sores and longing to eat, but also rich because he had God as his help. And that's why Jesus used that name, Lazarus. The poor beggar Lazarus, God is helping, is his name, was laid at a rich man's door, and he was full of sores. He longed to be satisfied with the crumbs from the rich man's table, and even the dogs came to lick his sores, but he was abandoned and alone. However, the rich man was dressed in purple and fine linen, lived happily in luxury, and nothing seemed to bother him. And he was not concerned about the suffering of the poor beggar. He did not use his wealth for the glory of God and to the benefit of his neighbor. His greatest sin was his eyes were directed at himself, so that he was blinded by all the needs of this world. And that's the sin of the rich man, that he lived for himself. And so he neglected God's law of love. He was the most influential and important person in his own eyes, self-righteousness. And then both died. For both, it was too late. Lazarus was carried away by the angels, where he was now in full communion with God and other believers, where there's no pain, no sores, no poverty, no hunger, just complete joy. Because out of grace, he had God as help. And the rich man was buried. And he opened his eyes in hell, the place of terror, of judgment and desolation. It is where the thirst and the hunger never stop, where the flame never stops burning, the worm never stops eating. And in his suffering, and part of his suffering, he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by Abraham's side. And he asked Abraham that Lazarus could dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue because he was suffering terribly in this fire. But it was too late. And that's the warning, that there's no mercy in the condemnation of hell. And the rich man asked for an act of love from Lazarus, which he was not prepared to do while he had a time and opportunity in this earthly life. But also comfort from the Lord, that no sorrow, no pain and suffering will ever go unnoticed, that the Lord is in control, and that the Lord sees our hurt, our suffering, our persecution, our grief. And also the comfort that we have if we have Him as our help. If Jesus Christ is our Savior, we have nothing to be afraid of, not even the valley of the shadow of death. And this is the big contrast that Jesus wanted to show. Lazarus was alone and poor in his life, but he trusted upon the Lord, and the angels carried him to heaven in death. And we have to realize something with this parable, that you can die with the angels or without them. Or you can part with the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior or without Him. And that's the reality that Jesus wanted us to face. The comfort, when you die as a child of God, with God as your help, you do not have to fear anything, not even death. In Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. The victory song of Romans 8. Jesus Christ Himself has risen from death. There were many witnesses. We read in Luke, and the Word and the Spirit testifying to this, and that Jesus rose from death. In the book of Acts, Luke described that Jesus gave many convincing proofs that He is risen. And Jesus Christ died, rose from the dead, and His Word and Spirit called to repentance now, because tomorrow can be too late. We don't know how much time we have left on this earth. Today can be our last. But also the comfort that we don't have to be afraid of this if Jesus is your Savior and God is your help. We read in Psalm 91, verse 11 to 12, "For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone." I don't know if you can remember, I preached this passage last year, at the beginning of COVID, where Jesus also quoted this when He was tempted. This means that we are under the protection of the Lord, that the Lord also gave His angels to protect us. And it doesn't mean that there won't be trials in a Christian's life. The life of a Christian is not supposed to be easy. Christians were beaten, humiliated, even died for their faith from the early days. But this does mean that angels will be there in all our sufferings. Promise of the Lord, Matthew 16 and 18, Also, they will be there on our deathbed. They will carry us to heaven. And that's such a great comfort for those, especially in this festive time, who are still sad about their loved ones, those who have passed away, that they were not alone. They were not afraid. Also, big comfort for those who are sick, those who realize that death can't be far away. The angels will carry you to the Lord. In my life as a pastor, second congregation that I served, I have experienced this myself while doing some pastoral counseling with a dear old Dutch lady in one of the previous churches. She was on a deathbed. She was frail after long suffering of cancer. And after reading out of the Word of God, I told her the Lord is with her. And she said, I am aware of this. And look, she said, the angels were already waiting at her bedside. And so the Lord comforted her, opened her eyes like Elisha's slave in 2 Kings. Saw this with my own mum after a sick bed of cancer. On the time of death, she lifted her hands and had a bigger smile. What a great comfort. We sometimes think hardly about angels. They are here, although we cannot see them. On the one hand, many of us are ignorant about angels. On the other hand, some people are obsessed about angels. And we need to be aware that there are not a lot of appearances of angels anymore. Certainly an angel can appear in human form. But we also need to realize that there are not a lot of appearances in the time we're living in. With the birth of Jesus, there was a great company of the heavenly host praising the Lord, but on Pentecost, there were none. And there's a reason. Because we have now the complete revelation of God in His Word and Spirit. We do not need a special revelation from angels anymore, as Abraham, Joseph, Mary, Elisha. And we should be aware that the devil also come as the angel of the light. And so the apostle warned in Galatians 1 verse 8, but even if we or an angel of heaven should come to preach you a gospel contrary to this one we preach to you, let him be accursed. It also correlates with the message this morning, that the Word of God is the testing stone that we need to use. And so Lazarus was longing for breadcrumbs from the rich man's table, and he received so much more. We have received so much more, because we have received the one with the outstretched arms and the cross, the bread of life, our Lord Jesus Christ, who obtained the complete redemption so that we don't have to fear anything, so that we can know Jesus is risen. And so the Word assures us, although we can't see them, the angels are with us. The angels are here. The angels are in heaven, and they are praising and worshiping the Lord. And the Lord commanded His angels concerning us. Psalm 91, concerning our children, Matthew 18. And we are under the Lord's protection even in the most difficult times that we can and will experience. Times of heresy, times of persecution. But we should trust and know that when our death comes closer, we have nothing to fear. The angels will carry us to the Lord in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for your words. And also this doctrine about the angels. And we know and don't understand all these things, but you gave us your complete word and spirit, the complete gospel in our Lord Jesus Christ. But with your angels, we also praise and worship you, and we trust you, Lord. Ultimately, we trust you. Father, we pray for your people. We pray that we will be comforted in turbulent times, but also can know we have nothing to fear. Our Lord Jesus Christ is risen. In his name we pray. Amen.